If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Live in the Sandler Training Studio this morning, Mayor Dave Beter joins us as he does once a month for a Friday visit. Since we talked to you last, a lot of stuff has happened.
What's going on?
Probably the most notable thing, the fire on Table Rock, caused allegedly by fireworks set off by person or persons unknown at this point in time.
Yeah, tough story about 2,500 acres. The good news is, first of all, they got it out so quickly. That was a heck of a good piece of work. And then the some other good news coming this week. The Friends of Zoo Boise and the zoo have pledged $100,000 to the restoration. They have a fund for environmental and causes all around the world. We have a great relationship with Gorongosa Park in Africa. And just little bits at a time, a dollar, a quarter, when you feed the giraffes, it goes to that, a little bit of your entrance fee. But those have added up to about $2 million over the last 7-8 years. And quickly after this came from Steve Burns, the zoo director. He got his board together and said, why don't we do this here? It's for these kind of efforts. The wildlife in the foothills is an important piece, and board approved it. So it's already dedicated. It's amazing turnaround. The upside too is there were some invasive and non-natural plant species up there, and this is a chance to
get rid of them.
Restore it in a better way. So, tough situation, but a good result. One of the reasons we love living here is that kind of digging in and helping out. So,
and as one who lived in that fairly close in the neighborhood, close to where it was, I just went out my back door and up the hill and went, oh my God.
Yeah, it's.
And it was incredible that no more structures were burned.
Yeah, that's.
Especially down on the other side, toward Harris Ranch.
Really amazing how quickly they were able to get it out. And again, tough situation, but a really good result. And hats off to the Friends of the Zoo and the zoo for recognizing. Well, we should do this at home too. Great result.
Should something be done about the sale of fireworks to go up in the air?
Well, we're having a good discussion about that now. I think there's certainly a case to be made. We're looking into this and, find out as much as we can. Fire chief has staked out a position pretty hard that way. We've got a ways to go, and we'll have a good discussion and see. It's certainly, you can see how in an area like ours, the damage can be swift and pretty awful. So I think it's a good time to have the discussion. We'll make the call. But there's a lot of jurisdictions involved. That's what can be tough. We can ban them here, but they can sell them down the road, not too far. So,
true.
But we'll see how it goes. I think it's the right time to have that discussion.
Boise made an interesting list in the past few days, and some people were fairly surprised about it. It's a list of the top 10 cities with the safest drivers. Now, were you surprised we made the list?
I was not. I haven't driven in that many other places, but we made a lot of top 10 lists, but I think that's people should be pleased with that and try to keep it that way. I think in some ways you feel like as we've gotten bigger, the driving's gotten more, more intense and a little harsher, but it's a good indication that things are going pretty well. I still like to, people let you in to lines, and I take my daughter over to St. Mary's in the morning when I'm coming back. The the street is too narrow to get through with two of us in parked cars and, you know, yield to the other one.
Yeah, we have that
good deal of time.
Yeah.
And give the wave if they've yielded to you. It's, you know, that kind of stuff adds up. And I think if you can keep that level of civility and good driving as you get bigger, which is what's going to happen, that's a big help to things. So, yeah, I hadn't seen that before.
That's pretty good.
But you guys seemed a little bit surprised this morning.
Well, number two behind Fort Collins, Colorado, and ahead of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Speaking of driving, time for a final traffic check this morning, brought to you by Mass Mutual of Idaho. New location, but the same robust team of pros. See them at the Village in Meridian, Mass Mutual Idaho, led by Paul Hales at 364-0500. That's 364-0500. Welcome back. Mayor Dave Beter in the Sandler Training Studio this morning. Bike riders have taken a couple of hits. Downtown bike lanes, St. Luke's road closure. How do you feel about that?
Well, we're disappointed on the Maine and Idaho piece. I think officially they voted to defer it. But if they don't step in, and what we're going to ask them to do is just stop. Jefferson is the alternative. Jefferson's no longer open, or won't be.
Yeah, I know that.
Shortly, you lose.
There's one who comes in on Jefferson.
130, 120 some parking spaces. We think that's not the way to go and a bad idea, especially with a disconnected thoroughfare. So what we're going to ask them to do is just call time out and keep working on it. Because certainly I think all of us, mayor and council, disagree on, or we all agree that Jefferson's not the way to go. So it is important that we accommodate all, you know, pedestrians, bike riders, transit riders, and obviously cars as well. So, and that's, this doesn't hit the right kind of no, we don't believe. So we'll go to work on it and see what happens. I think they're set to meet again next week, and they can still pause or on the Jefferson piece. So that's what we're hoping to do. Don't do the wrong thing just to do something. And one of the commissioners expressed concern that there's just so much going on downtown. Okay, so call time and let's take another look at it. I can certainly understand that because there is. But we need to get this right. It's important to the future of the city. And, you know, we're something like the fourth per capita bike commuters in the country, along with our safe drivers. You know, we need to accommodate both and make sure that everybody's safe. So we're hoping to push that next week.
4th of July has come and gone. How did the city celebrations go?
Well, besides obviously the Table Rock piece.
Yeah, I mean, because that wasn't actually on the 4th.
Really well. I actually had to be out of town. That was one of the scariest things about, I was back and forth with the chief about the fire. Wondering if I should get back. I was out in D.C., had some business out there, plus the Smithsonian had a Basque exhibit.
Nice. It opened, yeah.
Yeah, it was really phenomenal. A lot of the dancing group choir, a lot of Boise Basque went. They had a handball. We have built a handball court, small one, on the Capitol Mall, and really something. So, but I got reports, and everything seemed to go well. Fireworks have been several years, great community contributions to help do it. You know, we're so glad to have brought that back and to keep it going. So it's it really is a real down home American celebration. Pancakes with the Kiwanis in the in the park. It's you know, the parade in the morning. So it's first 4th of July. I've been out of town the whole time I've been mayor. So
yeah, it was gone.
It's
too.
A great one.
First time in 15 years.
People are still arguing about the refugee issue. And I know you've been a supporter of refugees coming to Boise. Do you still feel the same? Has anything changed your mind?
No, I think, in fact, we've been praised across the country for how well we assimilate refugees in the city of Boise. We probably had 4 or 5 different groups come and visit us, some from Europe, you know, what are you doing in Boise that's working so well? Because it is. And we really, you know, want to be known as a welcoming city, you know, unless you're, you know, Native American. We're all from somewhere. You know, my grandparents came from the Basque Country to Boise and had, you know, lived great lives and were accepted and worked hard. And I think that's an important dynamic to continue in your city, wherever they're from. And we've, you know, had good fortune and continue to be recognized for that. So it's something we think it's important to the future of the city that that everybody be welcome here wherever you're from. Got one little snippet I just want to mention. If you got a second here, the just a couple years when I was first elected, we did a Make-A-Wish for a young girl. Aubrey Matthews is her name. We did a superhero movie for her when she was six. That. The police did a big chase, and I named it Star Day for the day. Well, we celebrated her 10th anniversary of that film, so she's 16 now.
Sweet.
And doing well, you know, still had some rough road along that 10 years, but I just wanted to give her a shout out and her friends and family. Amazing.
Nice.
You know, these kids get better, and you don't hear about that always. So,
good story. Thing. Yeah. Usually you always think the worst is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, obviously that it does, but it, nice. We had a celebration with her, and it was great to see her. She's doing pretty well. So.
Fantastic. Doesn't want to make any new movies, though, huh?
Well, not right now. They might have made a 10th anniversary one. I don't know, but it was like I said. It was just I was just in a couple of years. And,
okay, Mayor, we're out of time. Thanks for being here this morning and drive safely.
I will drive
on the
safely.
Way back to your office. We got a reputation to uphold.
We got
to
keep it up. Yeah. Thanks for having me. See you next month,
Mayor Dave Beter. KBOI News Time is 8:56. We'll pause for a news break. Come back with an Open Phones Friday.
If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? It's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, KBOI News Time, 9:06, Open Phones Friday. If there's anything on your fertile minds today, we would urge you to call us 336-3700. It's 336-3700, 1-800-529-KBOI, 1-800-529-5264.
Obviously, a big thing happened last night. Gary of Emmett has already written in to say Black Lives Matter is a construct of government or the organized left. Cops shot in Texas over events in another state. This is an excuse for government to step in and provide order where there is chaos at the cost of freedom. Freedom is always the victim in these circumstances. A no-brainer is to predict gun sales and ammunition sales through the roof, and alarmist on the anti-gun side to ramp things up conveniently as the administration desperately tries to get one last item, gun control, finished before the expiration of its term in office. If violence escalates, martial law could postpone elections, or at least the political mood could lead to advantage for one side or the other. Beware of Michael Savage's predicted civil war.
That was the headline in the New York Post this morning. Civil war. Civil war. Unbelievable.
How can you have a civil war?
Yeah, I've always wondered about that term, too. They were really civil, then they
shot
each other.
Yeah, I was going to say, be really polite while you're shooting people.
All right, let's start up on phones Friday. Steve in Boise. Steve.
How you doing, Paul J?
Good.
Well, you know, it's just, if you look back a few months, I remember when Beyonce did her gig with the Black Panthers in the Super Bowl halftime.
I do.
You know, yeah, subtly, you know, basically, you know, the rappers kill the cops, blah, 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 blah. It started psychologically. And nothing was ever said about that, you know.
A little bit said about it, though, Steve.
Yeah, but very little. See, and not enough to make a difference because, you know, like in Obama's own state, there are more blacks killing blacks every month. I mean, what, 50 were killed on Memorial Day weekend in gun battles? And it doesn't even make the news, Paul J.
Well, here's the deal, though. Now, here's my deal, and I understand what you're saying, but the fact that blacks are killing blacks in Chicago doesn't mean that white cops should shoot down blacks for broken taillights.
Well, yeah, but if you look into that a little bit farther, Paul J., the other side of the story, a lot of times when people do videos, they only show the second half of the video.
I agree.
They don't show, and this is how they operate. You know, it's just like Zelensky. I mentioned a few months ago about the eight ways to take over society. You got to break them financially, and then what you got to do is take away their weapons socially. And every country that's done that, that's what they do. And this is the only way they can take away the weapons legitimately, is keep throwing this in your face every night and every night. Just like that Matt Damon coming here to, Matt Damon's coming to speak here at the village down there in Meridian about his up-and-coming Born Identity 4 or whatever it is, and the gun rights activists here in Idaho are going to be there because he's preaching basically confiscate all the weapons like Australia has done. And like the guy said, well, that's pretty interesting. You're in the movie killing and shooting and blowing up things left and right. Just like Hollywood, you make these brutal movies about killing and using weapons, and then you want to take them away from everybody. How convenient.
He's still allowed to have that opinion.
Yeah, exactly right. He's allowed to have the opinion. But what I'm saying is you're allowed to go and meet against that opinion.
Absolutely.
Peacefully.
Sure.
You know? But, I mean, it's just the instigation. This administration and president has brought the race wars back to the 50s, and that is no kidding. It's really a sad, sad state of affairs in this country right now.
All right. All right. Appreciate the call.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Steve. Let's go to Patrick in Caldwell. Patrick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going? Hey, I was just wondering about the latest, what's going on with the ranch shooting in Council that happened last fall. Haven't heard much. Just wondering if you guys know anything.
I haven't heard anything for a while.
We haven't. I mean, there's been relatively little happening. I think it's still one of those where there's an upcoming court case and lawyers are just preparing. So there really isn't any news out of there yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just hadn't heard anything. I thought maybe there's an update that you guys knew about.
You know, whatever, justice, whatever, doesn't run quickly for a fact.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, and that's actually an interesting parallel because you have a situation there where a policeman, you know, some kind of a cop anyway, felt like there was some danger and so fired a shot and killed somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, according to everybody else that was there, there really wasn't danger.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Lisa in Boise. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I just want to say that I really appreciate all of the policemen in Boise. They're really nice. They really are helpful. And I'm really glad that we don't have the problems that we're seeing across the nation.
Amen.
Well, you know, we have had a few instances, especially there for a while. We had a lot of instances where, there would be kind of a fight between a policeman and somebody else, and whoever the other person was would end up getting killed. And they were all sorts of different circumstances, but you remember that's how we first got our first ombudsman.
Yes, and, you know, there are things that have happened in our town. Last year, my son was in Hawthorne in the fifth grade, and there was a gentleman there that was disabled because he had had a run-in with the police. But, you know, he took responsibility for it. He was higher than a kite.
Yeah.
And he was on all kinds of drugs and things like that. But he's made it through. And not everybody dies, but you do have to follow directions when policemen ask you to do something.
Yeah, and that's true. And in the shooting where they showed the guy in the car, they didn't... The video... Lisa, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
The video started up after he'd been shot. And so, you know, we don't know what the police said. They may have said, put your hands on the steering wheel. They may have said,
he did,
keep your hands where you can see him.
Apparently, the policeman had given him a few orders, and there were some conflicting orders. One, the guy had already told him, he says, I'm a licensed carrier, and so I do have a gun with me. And that's when the policeman drew his gun, even though the guy was just telling him about it. You know, if you're going to shoot the guy, you don't tell him you have a gun, do you?
No.
You just kind of, you know, surprise him with it. But... the policeman pulled his gun, And then at some point he told the guy, you know, keep your hands where I can see him. But he also wanted his ID, and his ID was in his wallet.
Yeah.
So he was going for his ID, and the policeman thought he was going for the gun and shot him.
Yeah, and so, after he shot him a couple times, he still,
well, yeah,
five times,
well,
I guess,
well, and
still had the gun,
yeah,
pointed.
He was there, obviously bleeding to death in the car, you, yeah, know, and the woman was taping the whole thing. But he was obviously bleeding to death in the car, and the policeman still had his gun drawn and still was pointing it at him.
Yeah. So many different stories on what happened in Dallas overnight. There was only one shooter now. I mean, we've had reports of half a dozen shooters, five shooters, three shooters, yeah, four shooters.
As you said earlier, when you are in a place where there are a lot of tall buildings, you get echoes.
Yep.
And so you don't know where the bullets are coming from. And when you see a whole lot of people all of a sudden getting shot, you think that, well, there must be somebody up there and somebody up there. And, you know,
yeah,
it's a group effort. But
and what you're hearing are,
well,
echoes.
And we kept hearing news reports all night that said they had three people in custody or four people in custody, or they had two in custody and the third one killed himself, or three in custody and the fourth one killed himself. And finally, they ended up saying they believe there was one shooter and the police killed him.
Yeah. His name is Micah Xavier Johnson. Micah Xavier Johnson is the shooter just identified. KBOI News Time, 9:15. KBOI Rewards Code today, Dallas, DALLAS, Dallas. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter Dallas, earn today's 5,000 rewards points. And by the way, congratulations to Helena Frelich. Helena Frelich is the winner of our final Capital Sellers giveaway. So congratulations for all who tried, and congratulations to Helena, for the win today. Let's go to Jason and Star on our Open Phones Friday. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, guys. So last night, Obama affirmed some of the emotions, which I don't agree with, but it's fine for the rational people. But the crazy, delusional ones who acted out, it actually gives them more credence to what they did. He also said a little bit about gun control and so on and so forth. But what was kind of scary, in the middle of the night, I woke up, I knew there'd be more deaths. I turned on the news, and they had this so-called gun expert who was clearly not. Their vocabulary was utterly wrong. But for those who were asleep, and it may have been just last night, they started attacking open carry. They attacked hunting rifles. They attacked scopes. They tried to, because there was no known news about what weapon was used, they started speculating. So they accused that this guy may have had a hunting rifle with a scope and said how it was just as dangerous as an assault rifle. And they just went into a litany of common things. So they were way beyond trying to scare people about assault rifles. They were attacking hunting rifles. They attacked scopes. They complained that hunters can buy modifications online to, you know, turn their rifles into super weapons, complaining about stocks. And a lot of guys may say, I don't want that wood stock on my rifle anymore. Maybe I want a black one. I want a synthetic stock, that'll be weather resistant. And they complained about a lot of things. Now, and that concerned me, that was the real intention behind a lot of gun grabbers.
Well, the thing that got me was when they called it a peaceful demonstration. No, it wasn't. Five people were killed. How is that peaceful? And it only takes one person to make a demonstration, not a peaceful demonstration. And Micah Johnson did that.
And they, you know, they call it otherwise peaceful. But as we said earlier this morning, that's like saying, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play?
Oh, man, exactly. That guy clearly was a hateful fanatic.
Yeah.
But if you make comments that somehow affirm the emotion, that can be dangerous for those who aren't rational. They'll somehow take that delusionally as affirming what they're about to do. You know, and then me getting kind of scared in the middle of the night to hear people saying how the hunting rifle is just as dangerous as an AR-15, which I own two, you know, complaining about how scopes turn typical rifles into super weapons, that may make people who don't know anything about firearms say, you're right, we got to do something and go beyond just complaining about assault weapons bans.
Yeah, all right, good stuff, Jason. Yep. I'm glad somebody's up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's not me. As far as the motivation goes, we both said yesterday off the air after the show that something was going to happen somewhere.
Right. We were afraid of it.
Because white policemen keep killing black people.
Motorists, whatever.
And as long as this happens, somebody is going to get an idea, like Micah Xavier Johnson, that something has to be done, and it comes with bad consequences.
You know, and in this case, I mean, he was obviously furious to do something like this.
Sure.
But he's also only 25 years old.
Yeah, but can you understand why he did it?
Yeah, well, I can't.
Can you understand how you felt when you were 25?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. You know, that's just too bad that at 25 he was basically willing to die for this cause.
Yeah,
well, and kill others for it as well.
And you know, we have black people that work here at the station and everything, and they're not taking all of these shootings very well, and they're not the kind of guys that are you know going to go out and march. They're just normal people who are going, what the heck is happening here? Mm-hmm. Am I going to be okay driving home tonight? Those kind of people. Just people.
You bet.
KBOI News Time is 9:26. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live. A lot of people on the line. Stay there. We'll get to you when we come back after a news break.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back on an Open Phones Friday. Paul, Jay, and Chris. Let's get back to the phones now. Coming up, Rich in Boise. Rich, good morning.
Okay. Steve's logic, I mean, it's just insane that since black people are killing each other, then white police officers should be able to kill black people. Yeah. I mean, you know. Let's compare some of these shootings. You had that Lavoy Finnegan, who said he was, remember the guy from Oregon, the standoff?
Right.
And he said he was going to go out, wasn't going to be captured. He had plenty of ample warning, and he gets shot, and they were just outraged. Some of these people that have been shot, remember the 14-year-old boy, I think it was in Cincinnati? The cops rolled up on him and killed him in a second and a half. Now, they said that they thought it was a real gun and he was an adult. Here's the deal. An adult is allowed to carry a real gun in Ohio. I mean, he wouldn't have been breaking the law anyway. And he was dead. And remember the guy in Walmart? I mean, could you imagine coming around the corner with a BB gun and having a bunch of people screaming at you? I've had an officer yell at me one time and do a similar thing. He didn't shoot me or anything, but he was yelling, and I wasn't doing anything wrong, so I didn't even pay attention. And when I turned around, he did have his hand by his gun, but it never occurred to me that he was yelling at me. I heard him yelling at somebody, and I thought he was trying to arrest somebody going down the sidewalk. And so your reaction time, that they kill some of these people. If a SWAT team kicked in your door right now and or a bunch of people, mask, whatever, and started screaming at you, it's your mind doesn't process it immediately that fast. But I think they are getting, you know, it's not Obama's fault that black people are tired of white officers killing them.
I can kind of understand the motivation, but it's wrong. I mean, it's wrong on both sides. It's wrong for all of these. I mean, it's too much to be coincidence. When they go, well, they're armed. Well, they didn't follow orders. Well, nobody knows if the guy was told to put his hands somewhere or to get something. And, you know, because and people go, well, it's a setup because the video doesn't start until after he's shot. I mean, there's all of these things going on. All I know is the black people I know, and a lot of them, most of them are pretty mild-mannered. They're sick of it.
Well, this is why those body cameras. I mean, that would solve a lot of it, because if an officer would have been wearing a body camera, then we would know.
Exactly.
Did he just shoot him without warning, or was the guy going for the gun? See, that's the thing, is they, no matter what happens, no matter what video there is, these officers, they always, that one I mentioned in Cincinnati where they killed that 14-year-old boy in a second half, they got off. There was, I mean, that's just, well, that's just fine. And that's what's frustrating to him, to the people, that, you know, there's body cameras. I mean, at least we'd know. And if,
yeah,
know,
the guy in Baton Rouge, the guy in Baton Rouge was scuffling with two cops, and you can hear one of them say, "Gun, he's got a gun," and then the other one shoots him.
Well, yeah,
but I mean, that was a big guy.
One of the witnesses there said that the guy's hand was nowhere near the gun. I mean, yeah, what would happen if some officer killed somebody in Boise that had a legal carry permit? And a legal gun, and some officer shot him for having a gun. These people would be outraged.
Yes, they would.
You know.
Yeah. All right, we got to move on. Rich got a lot of calls. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Gary and Emmett. Gary, thanks for hanging on.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Chris.
Hey, Gary.
What does a cop in Dallas, Texas, have to do with a shooting in another state?
Exactly.
And they say peaceful protest. Now,
yeah, you can't use the word peaceful if they killed five and shot 12.
Well, I remember a little over a year ago, Black Lives Matter, they were marching down a street in New York, and it's recorded. They were saying, "What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them now?" And after chanting that, they chanted, "Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon." And the fellow who did the shooting, they said when he was talking to them before he died, he wanted to kill white folks and white policemen especially.
Yep.
Now, it sounds as if you got to admit that's a hate crime. And because race is one of the motivating factors. So what you have is people that are aggrieved, but among them you have some agitators who are racists. Sounds like what happened to black folks at the hands of the KKK earlier in the century. There were some folks that felt aggrieved after the Civil War, and there were among them some racists and instigators that did all kinds of bad things. Racism and that kind of instigation is evil, bad, and must be condemned regardless of where it comes from.
I agree. Good stuff. Thanks, Gary.
Instant message here from Bob, who says there is only one solution then. We must have an all-black police force there. Solve the problem. Two things I think wrong with that.
Yeah.
Number one, I can't see any government entity being allowed to tell people that in order to have a certain job, they have to have a certain color of skin. And number two, that doesn't really solve the problem. The problem, you know, is that people are being stereotyped and then treated differently during a police encounter than other people are treated. Like you and I, we wouldn't get stereotyped in that same way.
Probably.
So, I mean, I've been pulled over and the policeman didn't come up with his gun drawn and, you know, ask me if I was carrying or anything like that. The guy just came up and said, you know, "What were you thinking when you turned so wide back there?" or something like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or your broken taillight or whatever.
Well, whatever, yeah.
All right, KBOI News Time is 9:44. We'll be back with your phone calls.
Boise Police Chief Bill Bones has a few things to say to 670 KBOI following officer-involved shootings that we've heard about on the national scale. Details at the top of the hour on 670 KBOI.
All right, busy open phones Friday. Let's go back to the phones. Mark in Boise. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I got a little bit of a conspiracy theory on this whole thing, and I'm sure you might find this interesting.
Okay.
Yesterday, the day before, in Drudge Report, I believe it was, maybe it was Rolling the Daily, I think it was Drudge, mass exodus from Dallas Police Department in 1 month.
Yeah, somebody told me about that.
Yeah.
And I'm on the Drudge Report, and I can't find it.
Well, here's what I did, Paul. I went in and put in mass resignation of Dallas police in June, and it came up with a website here. This is from Dallas 1080 KRLD.
Okay, I know that. I'm familiar with that station.
June was not a good month for staffing at the Dallas Police Department. The Dallas Police Association said nearly 50 officers resigned over the past month to take jobs in other North Texas cities. There have been 48 defections of police officers from the city of Dallas. And to make this brief, it says Mike Matt of the Dallas Police Association said that this kind of mass exodus has not been seen in a long time. Now, he says it's due maybe to the combination of low pay and low morale that are behind it, but he said in 20 years he's never seen anything like this. 40 is a very high number for a month. Now, here's where the conspiracy theory comes in. I am wondering if there had been threats that had been out there that the FBI and the Justice Department know about from these black groups that have made these threats but did not release them to the general public. And I believe there's a strong possibility that's the case to keep this under wraps till something like this happened. In other words, they kept it from the public deliberately.
Yeah. And
I mean,
the Drudge Report.
You know, I don't know what's going on in our world today.
It's crazy.
It's just what is wrong? Everybody seems to be on a high strung over everything. And this divider in chief who spoke yesterday really stunned me with some of the way he carefully crafted his words about what went on with the shootings yesterday of the black people there by the police officers, and it was really kind of surprising the way he said what he said about police officers in a positive light. So, but the guy speaks with a forked tongue, as the saying goes. But there is something wrong. I don't know if it's in our food, our water, or maybe those chemtrails are playing with people's minds. I don't know, Paul, but there's something wrong that is affecting people on a massive scale across this country. Everybody's going in hyper mode, overreacting to everything.
Yeah, everybody's so polarized.
I'll let you go, Paul.
It's all right, thanks.
Like the opposite of Prozac.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a picture of this Micah Johnson on the Drudge Report site, and actually we just saw the same picture.
Well,
on
CNN. And isn't he kind of dressed in traditional African garb?
Yeah, and giving a Black Power salute.
Yeah.
That would be the picture that the Drudge Report would run, no doubt about it. Interesting stuff.
Here's an interesting question. KMD of CUNA says, what would it be like in those big cities if the police went on leave for 30 days? Would the inner city be quiet and peaceful during that time?
Nope.
No, I don't see that happening. Whether the police are there or not, there's going to be a certain amount of violence and a certain amount of crime in inner cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. And one of the things that was so evident this morning and last night, nobody knew what the hell was going on. They knew how many officers were down, how many people were shot. But as we said, they had the number of shooters as high as 5,
mm-hmm.
saw one report that said 6.
And then people were off of that information. People were saying, well, this must have been in the works for some time because you can't coordinate something like that in just, a day. And so they said, this might even not be related to this. It might be just a terrorist attack and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, and they ambushed from all different sides. And they were saying they were shooting from both sides of the street, et cetera, when what they were hearing were echoes of a single shooter with a single, well, I don't know if he might have had more than one gun, but it was a single shooter in a parking lot who had he could see down.
Right.
And it was an ambush, basically, but it was a one-man ambush instead of, like, ambushes on both sides.
That was kind of hard to comprehend for a while because some of the first reports said they have 3 or 4 people in custody.
They say, yeah, I heard that too, including a woman.
They might have people in custody, but it's not for this particular crime.
Yeah. And the people, the fiance of the woman of the man who was shot in a car.
Yeah.
And then the parents of the other man who was shot in Louisiana, they both tweeted and said, hey, we can't have this. This is ridiculous. This is wrong.
Bob of Boise says, the officer that shot the black guy in the car was Asian, not white, just to be clear.
Yeah. All we could see was his hand.
The thing I think they're concerned about is that he wasn't black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, who knows? Obama said today was a vicious, calculated, despicable attack on the police, an attack on law enforcement. And he made that comment from Warsaw, Poland, where he was. He said he was horrified after what he called vicious, calculated, despicable. Second somber statement about shootings on American soil the president made from Europe in less than 12 hours. And this was the worst, something we haven't mentioned today, but it's been mentioned widely, the worst attack, the most police killed in any one incident since 9/11.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Let's see. JP says, please stop making statements that make it seem like the police of our nation just go around willy-nilly shooting black people. I, for one, thank God for these brave men and women that put their lives in harm's way every time they put on their uniform and go to work. There may be a few bad apples, as there are in most anything, but it is a very, very small percentage. It seems like when it comes to police-involved shootings, they are guilty until proven innocent. That is absolutely not right. The thing I'm keying in on there is that you said it's a very, very small percentage. What percentage is, like, okay? Yeah. Like, if it's just 1% of them that are bad, is that acceptable? Or should it be 0%?
Exactly. It's a tough, tough, tough situation. But if you watch the O.J. Simpson thing, the stuff that went on there in Los Angeles, absolutely ridiculous. And so it's not a new thing. A lot of people are saying we're going back to the 60s, headlines of civil war, et cetera. All right, that'll wrap it up for an Open Phones Friday. Something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church his family. See you next week.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
America's Independence Day was a day to celebrate for sure, though I suppose our British friends didn't see it quite the same way. They actually commemorate their own special day that first week of July. Along with the French, the Brits commemorate the Battle of the Somme in northern France from World War I. Fighting in this great war battle lasted 5 months and killed or wounded more than 1 million people. Began that first week of July in 1916, 100 years ago. It goes down as one of the history's bloodiest battles, the worst in British Army history. The Brits took 57,000 casualties and 19,000 killed in one day. Along with extensive air power, the battle was the first time the tank was used in warfare, to devastating effect. War had become industrialized, forever changing how future battles would be waged. While we remember and celebrate America's founding this July, let's not forget the somber day or two for our best allies just across the pond. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.